Belgic Confession of Faith, Article 12, dealing with the creation of angels. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, there are many, many songs that have been written about angels, those angels who are in heaven, and sometimes those angels that you marry. There are many, many classic pieces of art, especially Roman Catholic art, that feature angels. Often they are ladylike creatures with beautiful wings, usually perfectly white. And there are many, many movies that have been made about angels. But there are a few corrections. Only twice in the Bible do you see angels having wings. Most of the times they appeared as men. And for sure, angels don't marry. And your wife may be sweet, but she is no angel. Angels don't sin. Angels have been confirmed in perfect righteousness. If you want to know about angels, you have to go to God. He is the one who made them. And hear what he has to say about angels today. Our headings are three: the creation of angels, the occupation of angels, and third, the corruption of angels. And our goals are that you'll get a fuller sense of what good angels do for you, that you learn to watch out for those evil angels who want to harm you, and that you then praise the Lord for the help of his holy angels, those that are present in your Christian life. So let's read together the Belgic Confession, Article 12. Together, he also created the angels good to be his messengers and to serve his elect, some of whom are fallen from that excellency in which God created them into everlasting perdition, and the others have, by the grace of God, remained steadfast and continued in their first state. The devil and evil spirits are so depraved that they are enemies of God and every good thing, to the utmost of their power, as murderers, wishing to ruin the church and every member thereof, and by their wicked stratagems to destroy all, and are therefore by their own wickedness adjudged to eternal damnation, daily expecting their horrible torments. Therefore, we reject and abhor the error of the Sadducees, who deny the existence of spirits and angels, and also that of the Manichees, who assert that the devils have their origin of themselves, and that they are wicked of their own nature, without having been corrupted. First of all, let's consider the creation of angels. The eternal Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, created all angels, and they were good. Colossians 1:16 confirms this. Let's read together. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And of course, Colossians 1 speaks of the superiority of Jesus Christ. When did God the Son create angels? Well, no one knows the exact time angels were created, because only this world has time. What we do know is that angels were already present when God created the world, when God created time. Job says in Job chapter 38, verses 5 through 7, let's begin. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know, or who stretched a line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together, and the sons of God shouted for joy. The sons of God, there refers to angels. And that's part of God's sarcasm against Job when he says, who determines this measurement? Oh, you know everything, Job, don't you? But here, angels are called sons of God. And they shouted for joy when the world was created, meaning they were there already. The angels did not assist God to create, but they praised God when God created the world. So sometime before the creation of the world, angels were created. But you can't really say sometime because there was no time beyond this world. It's a difficult concept to imagine. But what do we know about these angels? Angels, of course, are created beings. As created beings, angels have great power, but they're still subject to the Lord. They can't do whatever they want. Psalm 103, verse 20, together. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Angels do what they are told. Next, angels have limited knowledge. For example, angels don't know the time of the second coming of Jesus. As a man, Jesus said he didn't know. Only as God he knew. Look at what he said in Mark chapter 13, verse 32 together. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. There's a certain ridiculousness of many modern people who predict when Jesus would come. When Jesus is saying, I don't know. As a man, he did not know. And angels don't know. How could John Hagee know? Or these other men who are predicting when Jesus will come? Only embarrassing themselves. But worse, they're embarrassing Jesus because they're making his word to be a lie. Because his word never said so, and they're predicting that they can tell. Pastor Dillman, a commentator on this, said that angels, they don't even fully understand the gospel. And he based that on 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. Let's read together. To them it was revealed that, not to themselves, but to us, they were the ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. These things which angels desire to look into. Now that's a long, complicated sentence, and it's not easy to read it, but what is saying, look, angels told you things that they didn't even understand. So they've got limited knowledge. Third, angels, though they're spiritual beings, may sometimes take on human form in order to do the work that God sends them to do. Angels appeared to Abraham, for instance, and they even ate with him and drank with him, Genesis chapter 18. Now, there are some who directly doubt the existence of angels, but Jesus confirms that angels do exist. And when Jesus says it, it should be enough. God says it, you believe it, that's it. Matthew 25, verse 31, the Lord Jesus said together, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. Angels exist. They were made by the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were made sometime before the world began. So what's the work? We know they were created and they continue to exist. What's the work of angels? Second point. The angels were created to be messengers of God to man, and they've been doing this throughout history. Look at one of the most wonderful examples of the best message that an angel could have ever delivered. We find in Luke chapter 1, verse 19, together. "And the angel answered and said to him, 'I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings.'" What was the glad tidings? That your wife will have, Mary would have a son. He would call his name Jesus, and he would save his people from their sins. And the very word angel means messenger. In fact, Jesus was called an angel in the general sense, he was a messenger of God. Before the word of God was completed, God regularly sent messages to man, and he sent angels to bring those messages. Of course, God doesn't send angels with messages to you today. Why? Because you don't need messages? Of course you need messages, but the messages that God wants you to have are in the Bible. Everything you need to know is there, and it's clear. I mean, can you understand? There's sometimes it could be if an angel came in the past and you're wondering, who is this? They appeared as a man, but it could also be an angel, but it could also be an evil angel. How would you know? You'd have to sort those things out to know if this word was directly from God. But now we have the word of God completed, 66 books, everything you need to know. Is there. Now, it doesn't mean angels can't appear today, but the message of God is complete in the Word of God. We'll talk about their work in a minute. But angels are more than just messengers. That's what the name means. But you think of the word elders. An elder might mean an older person. But an elder has many kind of responsibilities. You read the list that God says an elder ought to be able to do, things he must do. So when you see the word angel, don't be fooled into thinking that he's simply a messenger. Angels were created beings. They are residents of heaven. They're confirmed in righteousness. And they will do all the work that God wants them to do. So what else do angels do other than messengers? And you will understand why I chose Psalm 23, when the Lord says, even though you go through the valley of the shadow of death, you'll fear no evil. Why? He was with you. How is God with you? The presence of his angels. So, look at the list. There are many things that happen in the unseen realm, and you need protection. You don't always know the danger. Maybe you're driving, and what could easily be your death? There'd be an angel that stops you, makes you brake, or maybe makes you miss the stoplight that you think, oh, what's going on? I really wanted that stoplight. And then you look ahead, and then there's an accident, and you say, oh. Angels work in remarkable ways. Of course, evil angels are always around trying to harm and kill you, and so the good angels are there to protect you. Look at Psalm 91, verse 11 and 12, and we read together, "For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." There are times, and you can learn from history, where there's some incredible things that have happened where people surely should have died. And for some reason, they're saved. And when you see the word charge there in verse 11, it's a military term. It's showing that angels are used by God to fight for his people, even as they fight. Then look at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14 now together. "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation?" A ministering is someone who helps you, a servant. You have angels sent by God to help you. Then there are cherubim. No, they're work of angels. This is one type of angels, and they guarded the Garden of Eden to prevent man from eating of the tree of life. Remember, that would have been a terrible thing if they got back in and ate of the tree of life, and God put angels to stop them from doing something wrong. Then there are angels that God gives to covenant children to protect them, to guard them. Look at Matthew chapter 18, now verse 10, together. Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. In other words, these children, they've got angels that report directly to the Father. They're before him. He gives them their directions. He gives them their assignment. And they'll report back to him. You want to mess with a covenant child. You want to be careless with how you deal with your children. You'll have to give an account to God. And you may encounter angels who may not be pleased if you don't instruct and discipline your children. But angels are not only there to protect, angels also take away fear. No, just like you hear there, just last week somebody got shot and killed in Jane and Finch area, and you have to walk around there at nights, you're probably thinking, I better open my eyes very carefully or walk as quickly as I can or not go there in the first place. But you have a big, strong policeman who's got some big guns with him, and you suddenly start to feel a little bit safer if you walk there. Imagine when you've got angels with you. And they're not limited by bullets and guns. They can go, and they're spiritual beings who can travel and move around and stop anyone who threatens you. Look at Hebrews 12, 22 now, together. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. Innumerable. How much is that? Innumerable. You can't count how many angels the Lord has protecting you. John Calvin, interestingly enough, believed that angels were the source of gravity based on Psalm 91. Now, he can't say that for sure, but the point was that angels play an integral part in our lives. And you have their company, and they keep you safe. Giving his angels charge over you, what a rich thing. You got military with power around you. Well, how specifically does God protect his people through angels? Well, in 2 Kings, God showed this angelic protection for Elisha and his servant when the king of Assyria was trying to kill him. Look at the account, 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15, together. The servant of the man of God arose early and went out. There was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. What a vision. What a vision. You think they would be afraid then after this? You got the Assyrian army that kind of looked powerful, and then you saw the Lord's army, his angels, and you could laugh at the enemy because the Lord's on your side. The Lord's on your side. There's one more job that the angels have. Angels praise God. Not only protect, but they praise God continually. If you want to remember them easily, they preach to you, that bring the message of God, they protect you. and then they praise God, the three main functions of angels. You see this in Job 38 that we just read. They praise God at creation, and then they praise God at his recreation. And the beautiful picture of that is Luke chapter 15 with the prodigal son. When he returned home, what was the purpose of that text? It was this, Luke 15 verse 10, together. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. But there is more. Look as well in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3, when Isaiah was taken up into heaven. It's not just on earth, but it's also in heaven. Verse 3, together. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The seraphim and other classes of angels sang constantly before God's presence. In short, we can say that angels were created for the good of man and for the glory of God. But there's one more side of this. We know they were made by Jesus. We know in terms of what their occupation was, they preach and they protect and they praise God. And that seemed everything was going well, but there was one other aspect, and that's the third point. Angels became corrupted, the corruption of angels. The Bible says that one third of the angels of God, created by the Lord Jesus, led by Lucifer, rebelled against Jesus and were condemned and cast out of heaven. We have a number of accounts of that. First in Isaiah and then in Luke. Isaiah 14, verse 12 and 13. Together, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. Then Luke 10:18 together. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. The rebellious one who was called the morning star was thrown out and fell like lightning. These angels were condemned and can never repent. They're eternally condemned and bound for hell for eternity. First thing I want you to note here before we look at that is how good God is to you. He could have condemned you in Adam just like he condemned all the angels who rebelled against Satan. He sent them to hell with no hope. He could have done that to you, but he didn't. Look at what happened. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, together. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. Jude 1 verse 6 together. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. Revelation 2 verse 4, 12 verse 4 together. His tail drew a third of the stars of the heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour his child, her child. Now, the third of the stars of heaven, their angels are called stars. And we know that this is referring to demons because they were the ones who were ready to devour this child. Who was this child? The Lord Jesus Christ. Remember how Herod tried to kill him. Some other names for these angels then are called devils, evil spirits, fallen angels, just plain demons. Now, what do we know about their work? These demons, enemies of God and enemies of God's people, they use all kinds of strategies to deceive. They can pretend to be good. They can pretend to be, well, they are bad. They can be bad. Or they could even be indifferent, which is one popular way of luring people, as if it's no big deal. They conspire against you, or they will charm you. You can see how Satan plotted against Job, working for his destruction. He knew Job was innocent, and yet he went after Job. But then there are times when he comes sweetly. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, "Together, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." So sometimes he comes as an angel of light. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14 now, together. "And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light." So you got the lion on one part, and you've got this beautiful light. But the goal is the same, to destroy the people of Christ. He couldn't get Christ. He couldn't get Christ in heaven when you rebelled against him. He couldn't get Christ on the cross because Christ rose triumphantly from the dead. He will come after Christ's people. And you must be aware of that. Demons even tried to get people to worship them. And throughout history, people have worshipped demons. There are cults that worship demons. Colossians chapter 2, verse 18 shows that this was happening even in the days of the Apostle Paul. "Together, let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind." Even angels were worshipped. You know, the devil knows that he can't destroy your faith, but he still doesn't give up. He still comes to make life difficult for you. And the ultimate goal of fallen angels is the destruction of the church. The Lord warned about this in Matthew chapter 13, verse 39. And let's read now together. "The enemy who sowed that is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels." Try to sow discord, even among the people of God. Sowing weeds, causing trouble between people. But the Lord says in the end, they get sorted out. He'll separate the wheat from the tares, the grain from the weed. But you have to be very careful here, because there's a tendency to blame the devil when we give in to his temptation. The devil can't make you do anything wrong. So when people say the devil made me do it, it's not true. You're drawn away by the lust. The devil will make the lust appear, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And you have to be able to say, "I know I'm tempted. I'm tempted and I must back away." Don't blame the devil. Use the example of Luther, who blamed the devil for the poor beer in the city. He thought the beer was terrible and said, "Let's blame the devil for that." Well, you need to get some people who knew how to brew properly and get bad beer. Don't blame the devil for that. But sometimes you tend to throw everything on him. And we need to look at ourselves. So we must guard ourselves against the constant attacks of the devil, for they will never stop. The devil wants to stop you from living for Jesus. He will bring troubles across your path, he and his evil spirits. And sometimes even people close to you he can use to try to stop you. And you have to guard against that. How do you guard against the devil, whose very life is made up when he wakes up in the morning, so to speak? It's how he can deceive people, how he can destroy them, how he can use others to frustrate you, that you take your eyes off of Jesus. Well, the Apostle Paul describes for us how in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. Let's read then together. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. You have to put on the whole armor of God. You know, it's not easy to do so. It takes work. You have to then fill yourself with God's word and God's spirit. And that's the protection that you will have over you. So when you are tempted like Jesus, you will quote the scriptures to him and send him running, because you are covered with the word of God and you're strengthened in your soul by the Spirit of God. So when you're tempted, you will say, no, get behind me, Satan. That's how we fight. That's how we fight evil spirits. You know, if you go into some places or people's homes, they've got under their pillow, they've got a cross, because that's supposed to ward off evil spirits. You know what he's afraid of? The word of Jesus. Quote the word of God when you're tempted. You don't need garlic. You know, people have that string that's supposed to protect them, their houses. Or they've got some thread, or they've got some, go to a witch to get some spell, and they've got something in a cloth. That's not going to send the devil, the evil spirits, packing. That's not what Jesus used. He started off by saying, it is written. It is written. It is written. It's the word of God. And when the Spirit works through that word, you become bold and strong and can send him packing. Let's conclude. God created the angels through his Son, Jesus Christ. The angels' job was to pass along God's word to God's people, to protect God's people, to punish the wicked. They stand in the way, of course, and then to praise God eternally. Now, some of those angels rebelled against God and they were put out with the devil from heaven. These wicked ones will continue to try to hound you and to destroy you, but they will finally and totally be confined to hell for eternity. So, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, angels are very real and continue working on your behalf today. They don't bring you any messages now, as you have the whole Bible, but they quietly work to protect you from the wicked. You know, it is possible that you may have met an angel and you don't know. They can still appear. Why not? Why do you get the protection, though, of the angels, something you truly need? You get it because you are God's children through Jesus Christ. You know, parents today, they send kids to school, they've got a tracking device, so they know where they are, and they've got phones and all these other things, a way of keeping their children safe. You got angels who go with you everywhere. Because you're his child. And you have to see how special you are to him. That he gave his own son so that you could live. And that's why he has angels with you. You were adopted. You have your name written in heaven. And he says, I'll take care of you. You need the protection. Here are my angels. What's your response then? You praise the Lord for his angels' protection. Remember that there are more angels of Jehovah than there are demons of the devil. And the Lord's angels, they have real power. So praise him for that. And if you're not a Christian, you will meet God's angels one day. You can meet them on the good side, where they'll protect you and preach to you. They'll praise God with you, or you'll meet them in judgment. Your only hope is forgiveness through Jesus Christ, who died for the sins of the world. And then you can meet them in the good way. Make the right choice. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for the work of angels. Thank you, Father, that they cannot overwhelm us, because greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. And there are more who are for us than those who are against us. And you will give your angels charge over us. We will not fall and crush our foot against the stone, for you will uphold us. We thank you for that. We thank you that we've been made your children through Jesus Christ, adopted for eternity. And so we have that blessing. Help us to work then for you, to live for you without fear. And if we go through the valley of the shadow of death, yet we are not alone. Comfort us and strengthen us with these words. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.